Since we're already, well into our time together this morning. And what I wanted to talk to you about this morning was my dad. And not my father, who will turn 89 next week. I could tell you a lot about him. But I want to talk to you about our Heavenly Father, whom we've been singing about this morning, and who we've been praying to as we pray for Mel and her family. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 103rd Psalm this morning. I'm just going to give you some real quick things about our Father. It seems appropriate to me as we think about what it's like to be in family and in relationship with people. I love the 103rd Psalm for many, many reasons. But probably the reason I love it the most are the verses that I'm going to read for you, beginning in verse 11. Actually, I'm going to begin in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him, for he knows our frame. And he remembers that we are dust. We have been reminded this morning just how frail we are as human beings, aren't we? Physically and emotionally, we are frail human beings. And this psalm, I think I love it so much because I love these verses that I just read to you about my dad. Jim, when he prayed with us earlier this morning, he mentioned, or I think maybe it was when we prayed before the service, he mentioned what it talks about in the book of Romans, where because of our relationship with Christ, we can call out to God, Abba, Father, which means daddy. And that's the kind of dad I want to talk to you about this morning. Just five facts, I guess you could say, from this text about our Father. First and foremost, in verse 13, my dad loves me. My dad loves me. David says in this psalm, he says, as a father pities, that word may throw us off a little bit from the English language, but it doesn't really mean feel sorry for us, but rather it refers to God's love and his compassion. Our Father loves us and has compassion. It's tied into the Old Testament concept of mercy. And of course, there's no way that a heavenly Father can have a relationship with us who are sinners without mercy. Without God's mercy, we could have no relationship. You know, I was born into my father's family, my dad's family, the Malacy family. It'll be 59 years next month ago. And, you know, I had no choice into that. My dad and my mom had me, and I was born into that family. My dad had to accept me as part of his family. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, it is not possible for us to have a relationship with him outside of the mercy of Christ, outside of his love. And that's one of the things that the psalmist reminds us here. It's amazing that he loves us at all. We've sung about it this morning. It tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know if you've ever had a person in your life that's kind of difficult to love. You may know someone that's kind of not very lovely. My daughter-in-law, we had a wedding shower for her, we had a wedding shower for her last week, and she had a good friend of hers and her friend's husband come down from the D.C. area. And the wife was great. The husband was a total jerk. Did you ever meet anybody like that? Do you know anybody like that? Don't look at the person that's a jerk that's next to you right now, all right? Not a good idea. this guy was not a pleasant, and in my family, we are, you know, we are a very vocal family, and we talk amongst ourselves a lot, and ever since then, everybody's been talking about this guy, what a jerk he was, you know, because of all the ignorant things he said to all of us, and he's not the kind of person that I would want to be friends with. He's not the kind of person that I would really want in my life. And, you know, I guess we have the luxury sometimes of choosing to have those kind of people not in our life unless they're in your family, right? And then that's a whole different issue. And if you have somebody like that in your family, don't put your hand up right now, all right? But, you know, we know people that are difficult like that. But what's amazing to me, and by the way, you know what? I know this will surprise you, but sometimes I can be a jerk too. Shocking, isn't it? Yes, I can be. I can be a jerk sometimes. No, I can't be. Yeah, I can be. I promise you. I taught all week this past week, and it's a very intense experience. You know, you come in at 8:30 in the morning, go to 5, and you know, I think I'm interesting, but even I'm not interesting enough to listen to 4.5 straight days, you know. And I was telling my students this week that while I'm a pretty patient person when it comes to many things in my classroom, when someone crosses a line with me, you don't really want to go there because I turn into a very Italian kind of person. And I can be a jerk sometimes. But you know something? It doesn't matter because God loves me in spite of myself. Isn't that amazing? He loves that jerky guy that I just talked to you about. He loves you. And that's one of the greatest things. You know, we live in a society today, unfortunately, where a lot of dads aren't around anymore. I have a statistic I was going to read earlier. But there are apparently 70 million fathers in the United States. Notice I didn't say dads because there's a difference between a father and a dad. Anybody can be, you know, can father a child. Any man can father a child. But not any man can be a dad. Because you see, a dad is there no matter what. A dad's there in the good times and the bad times. A dad is there when things happen, like just what happened today, through sickness and through health. That's what a dad does. That's what a real man does. And my Heavenly Father, the one we've been singing about this morning, the one that we've been praying to, He loves me, it says here, no matter what. Isn't that awesome? He loves me no matter what. And He proved His love by sending His Son to die on the cross for me. You know, there are dads that say, I love you all the time. But then they don't show up at important events, or they don't sacrifice for their family or for their kids. You see, love, anybody can say I love you, but love should be demonstrated. And Jesus Christ is the demonstrative fact that God loves us. For God so loved the world, what? That He sent His only begotten Son. He loves us. He loves me. And He proves His love to me each day, and that's all through the psalm, and we'll look at that in just a minute. So I'm going to give you, you know, this characteristic of my father, and I'm going to tell you what that means. So this first characteristic, that my dad, and I hope he's your dad, loves me, and because he loves me, I am accepted. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. As even though I can be a jerk sometimes, I am accepted. Secondly, not only does my dad love me, but look what else. He knows me. Look in verse 14. It says, so as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him, for he knows our frame. He knows us and remembers that we are dust. I wrote in my notes next to this, he knows me warts and all, imperfections and all. No matter whatever scars that we have, no matter what issues that we have in our life, God not only loves me, but he knows me. And I think that makes his love for me even more amazing. You know, my dad used to say, he said, to know me, you know, a little of me goes a long way. He was referring to himself, but I think it refers to me sometimes too, you know. A little of me goes a long way. And It's one thing to have a public persona. It's another thing when the people who really know you. You know, my wife and I were talking about this yesterday. We went out and we were talking about just how absolutely opposite we are. I am on the Myers-Briggs scale, which is a Burt personality scale. I am an extreme extrovert. Probably surprises most of you. My wife is every bit as extreme an introvert. And on every scale on the Myers-Briggs, we are at exact opposites. And what brought up the conversation yesterday was my wife's, you turn off the main road to go back into, there's a road that goes back into our development. And about a week ago, they put up this huge sign that said they're going to be building a retail space. And I said to my wife, I said, did you see that they're going to be building a retail space at the end of the street? And she said, no. And I said, well, honey, I don't know how that's possible because there's a sign that's about 50 feet the size. And then I even took a picture of it and I said, see, here it is. And so we went past it again on the way back home yesterday afternoon. And so we were kind of kidding back and forth. And I said, not only am I an extrovert and you're an introvert, she calls me, I'm very observant / kind of nosy, all right? There's a fine line between being observant and nosy, and I think I kind of cross that line sometimes. But I said, you know what's interesting? As nosy / observant as I am, that's how oblivious you are. And then we didn't talk for a while. No, we were good after that. I was trying to come up with a word that was complimentary, you know. But what's really funny, and that's what we were laughing about, and we said to each other, we were saying, you know, we'll be married 38 years in October, and it's absolutely amazing that we've lasted 38 years because we are so different. And you know what's amazing, though? The more that we know each other, the better it gets, even though we're completely different. She loves me in spite of the fact that she knows me better than any other human being on this earth. And you know what's amazing? God knows me, and he still loves me. And he knows you, and he loves you. That's what it says here. He knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. When I think about these verses, I don't think that this just means our physical body. We know we're made out of dust. Yesterday, my son said, you know, let's go for a bike ride. And I haven't ridden my bicycle since last fall. And we went out, we rode, and, you know, he's only 32. And while we're not really competitive, 32, 50, almost 9, there's some differences there. But I'm telling you what, there's no way I'm walking my bicycle if he's riding, all right? And then he does this thing, which is, you know, I think it's because he cares about me. He says, are you going to be okay, Dad? Like I'm going to have a heart attack or something, you know. Yeah, I'm fine, son. Don't worry about that. I'm going to eat you for lunch. That's what's going to happen here. So I am, you know, as I get older and as we get older, we feel the effects of our dust frame. But I don't think that's all that David says here when he says he knows our frame. I think it means that he knows us, not just our physical frailties, but our emotional frailties. He knows our spiritual frailties. He knows our weaknesses. And one of the things that I'm so amazed about when it comes to the Lord and yet so disturbed about when I look at us as human beings, God knows our weaknesses and forgives us and loves us in spite of that. And yet so often we, as Christians particularly, we are less forgiving of those around us. We know our weaknesses. And we know our shortcomings, and we want other people to accept them, but we are not as loving and caring and forgiving when it comes to other people's shortcomings. I'm glad that my dad isn't like many, well, even I can be sometimes. He knows my frame. He remembers that I am but dust. He is a sovereign Lord, and yet he knows me from head to toe. It says in the Psalms that he knows the number of hairs on our head. For some of us, that's a little harder than for somebody like George, for example, all right? I mean, I think most of us could count George's hair, right, George? Yeah. His wife loves him in spite of it. She probably thinks it's sexy. Can I say that on Father's Day? Too late, I already did. Take that out of the tape, though, Roy. Now listen. He knows the number of heads on our hairs on our head. He knows everything there is to know about us. And yet, he loves us. Wouldn't it be great to have a relationship with someone that, in spite of what they know about us, still love us? That's the Lord. That's my Heavenly Father. He knows me. And so, even though he knows me completely, warts and all, he knows my thoughts, he knows my secret parts, I can be myself 100%. I don't have to hide anything from the Lord. A long time ago, I figured this out. And when it comes to prayer, I don't try to fool the Lord about anything, because I know that God already knows me. My mom died when I was 18. She died of cancer. And at that time, I'm pretty sure I've told you this before, but at that time, people that had cancer didn't have hospice and so forth. And for a while there, my mom would be at home in her bed, and there was really not much they could do for her. And even though she got weak and she got frail, what was most amazing to me as an 18-year-old kid, somehow my mom still found out about everything that I did. And so I would come home, you know, from being out. I mean, I was 18, had my own car, you know, my own money and all that. And mom would say to me, she'd be in her bedroom, and I would go into her bedroom, and I'd say, "Hi, Mom, I'm home." She said, "How were you tonight?" "Oh, I was great." And then she might say, "Are you sure about that, Fred?" And then she'd start asking me questions, and pretty soon the truth would come out. So finally I got to the place where I'd come in the door. I'd say, "Mom, I'm going to tell you right now what happened so you can just get it out in the open." And the Lord is like that. There's nothing we can hide from the Lord. So why do you try? When I go to the Lord in prayer, I'm saying, "Lord, you know me. You know you know that I think this. You know that I've sinned in this manner. You know that this attitude has been this way. And Lord, I know it displeases you, and I know it hurts you. I'm sorry. I'm not making excuses, Lord. You know my frame. You know I'm dust. Keep working on me. Keep working on me." He loves me. And because he loves me, I am accepted. He knows me. Therefore, I can be myself. I can be who I am with him. I can be totally transparent with the Lord because he knows me. And by the way, what I haven't asked you yet is the Heavenly Father, your Father. You're not a child of God by virtue of the fact that you're a human being. You're a child of God by virtue of your relationship with Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Christ, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even them that believe on his name." Number three, not only does my dad love me and I am accepted, not only does he know me and I can be myself, but thirdly, he is patient with me. He is patient with me. Now, as a dad, somebody when I was walking in, a couple of said, "Happy Father's Day to me," and I'm, you know, "Thank you for those greetings. I don't know, I'm not really sure what's going to happen when I get home. Half of my kids aren't around. You know, my daughter's out in California visiting my son who lives in California. My other daughter's in D.C. You know, I don't know where the rest of the kids are. It's all good. They texted me, and that's good. Happy Father's Day. Thumbs up, Dad. You're awesome. Good enough, all right? Facebook, fine. I would say that when it comes to my kids, I did a pretty good job loving my kids, and I still love my kids, and I think I know my kids pretty well. My wife and I, one of the things that we would do is we tried not to kid ourselves about our children. But when it comes to this aspect, that God is patient with me, I don't do that very well. You see, patience isn't my strong point. Me as a dad, it's a constant struggle, even as I get older. It says in verse 14 that he knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. We are human. We are faulty. We have all kinds of issues. And yet, look what it says in these verses. Look for it. We already read in verse 8. Even though he knows us, he is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. Some fathers, it seems like they will lose their temper at the drop of a hat. But isn't it great to know that God is, and one of the words it uses in the book of Peter, he is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. And for some of us, I'm looking around at some of you right now, I won't call you out by name, GR, but, you know, for some of us, it takes all the long-suffering he can muster. With me, for sure. He is patient with me. It's a constant struggle, though, for me personally. Why can't we be as patient as he is? Why can't we be as patient with others as God is with us? You know, if you're like me, when you sin, you go to the Lord and you ask his forgiveness, but there's probably some things that you do on a fairly regular basis. There are some sins that seem like they just keep coming back. Maybe it's you're opening up your mouth and saying something you shouldn't say. Maybe you're thinking something that you shouldn't think. Maybe you're doing things you shouldn't do. And you truly want to repent and you truly want to change, but you keep stumbling. And yet I don't think any of us ever think when we go to the Lord to confess our sin, I don't think we ever go there thinking that he probably will say, no, I'm done with you. You can go to the Lord 5 times, 50 times, 500 times, and you are fully confident that he will forgive you. And we revel in that forgiveness, we revel in that that patience of God, and yet we do not extend that same kindness to others. You remember that story Jesus told of the servant who owed his master millions of dollars, and he begged his master for patience with the debt, and the master forgave. And then that same guy went out and found someone that owed him like $100 and just lost it. And the lesson that Jesus was teaching was, to the same degree that you have been forgiven, you need to forgive others. To the same degree that God is patient with you, you need to be patient with others. To the same degree that God shows his kindness to you, you need to be kind to one another. And wouldn't it be interesting if we went and polled the people in our lives and asked them to rate our forgiveness, to rate our kindness, to rate our patience? Now, it doesn't mean that he turns a blind eye to my sins. It says back earlier, you know, that he will discipline us when we need to be disciplined. But he is always patient. He is always kind. He is always merciful. He is always compassionate. He is always long-suffering. My father, as he's gotten older, interesting thing about life, as I've gotten older, my father's also gotten older. And what I've noticed about my dad as he's gotten older is he has gotten more and more emotional and more kind and more, I don't know. It's just like there's a whole side of my dad that I never saw. I mean, my dad was a man's man, and he was a builder. He had huge hands that I experienced, you know, on a couple parts of my body a few times in my life. And I can remember there were times when I can remember one. I won't tell you the gory details right now, but there was a time when I did something that did not meet with his standard of approval. And man, I tell you what, patience was not my father's strong point at that point. But as he's gotten older, I don't know what happens, but he's gotten, you know, there's a whole kinder, gentler side to him. And I guess that gives me hope about myself. But isn't it great to know that our Heavenly Father is always kind and merciful and compassionate and long-suffering. And as it says here in verses 8 and so forth, he is slow to anger and he does not deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't give us what we deserve. That's what mercy is, by the way. We don't get what we deserve. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward those that fear him. And so my dad loves me, therefore I am accepted. He knows me, I can be myself. He is patient with me. Number 3, I can feel secure. I can feel secure. There are many people today that have father issues, because their dad wasn't around, or because their dad bailed on them, or because their dad was, you know, maybe he was a drunk, or maybe he was a person that had, you know, mood swings. And so they never knew what dad they would find when they would get home. I want to tell you something today, folks, that the Heavenly Father that is there for you today, he is always the same, and you can feel secure in him. Number 4, not only does he love me and know me and patient with me, but he also takes care of me. He takes care of me. And all through this psalm, we see that. Verse 3, he forgives our iniquities. Verse 3, he heals our diseases. And that's, by the way, what we prayed for earlier, wasn't it? We prayed for Mel and her family. We prayed that God's healing would be upon her. Why do we do that? Because we know we have a Heavenly Father that hears us, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and who actually has the power to do something about it. I was listening to a sermon on the way up, and this guy was talking about that when he was first married, you know, they lived in this house. It wasn't a very great house, and it was an older home, and it only had a few electrical plugs in it, and the one in the living room didn't work, and so in order to watch TV, they would run an electrical extension cord all the way into the kitchen to watch TV. They would unplug the refrigerator, and for a little while, because they didn't have much milk or something in there anyway, they would unplug it and watch TV, and then they'd plug it in later on. And they got ready to sell the house, and the realtor came over, and they said, tell us the issues in the living room. He said, well, the electrical plug doesn't work. And she said, that's okay, we need to get that fixed. She said, well, what's this light switch for? We don't know, it doesn't seem to do anything. And she turned it on, and guess what? It lit the power in the electrical lights, the socket that was out. And his point was that they had lived in those house all those years, and the power was there, but they never tapped into it. I think even the most dense of us can get that metaphor, can't we? You see, we have a Heavenly Father who is all-powerful, and we don't tap into it. We don't have the faith to ask him to heal, to supply, to forgive, to redeem, to crown, to satisfy, all those things that we see in verses 3, 4, and 5. We don't tap into that power. And so we live in ways that are less than what God, I believe, desires or wills for us. Because he loves us, and because he knows us, and because he is patient with us, therefore, he cares for me. We all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and you know what the rest says, why? I shall not want. It doesn't mean that we don't want anything in the sense we don't desire anything. It means I shall not lack. There's nothing that we lack. Why? Because our Father takes care of us. James chapter 1 says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a father of 6 kids and going on 11 grandchildren, I can tell you from a firsthand experience, having a large family can be a daunting task to provide for them. And that's because I have limited abilities and limited resources, but my Heavenly Father has unlimited resources and unlimited abilities. And so, because he cares for me, I need not worry. Because he loves me, I'm accepted. Because he knows me, I can be myself. Because he is patient with me, I can feel secure. Because he cares for me, I do not need to worry. And finally, implied in this verse, but if you will, go to the book of Romans, and we'll wrap it up real quickly in Romans, please. Chapter 8. And the final thing, because he loves me, because he knows me, because he's patient with me, because he cares for and cares about me, my dad also listens to me. You'll notice I did not say he hears me, because there's a difference between listening and hearing. Most men are good at hearing, but ladies, give me a word if you agree, they stink at listening. Amen? The rest of you I've lost you already. See, there's a big difference between hearing and listening. And I'm just going to tell you, 25 years of marital experience before I learned this lesson. So my wife would always say to me, Fred, you're not listening to me. And then I made the fatal mistake. Dave, did you ever do this? I bet you did. And then I would, because I would always be doing something, and I would, to prove to her that I was hearing her or listening to her, I would then repeat word for word what she said. And then I would wonder why she got mad at me, all right? because she didn't care that I could repeat the words she said. She wanted me to look at her, and actually, even if I didn't say a word, she didn't care. I thought she wanted me to talk. No, she just wanted to engage me face to face. Amen, ladies? You see, that's what listening is. See, when my wife is talking and I'm over here and I'm over there and I'm doing this and doing that, and I'm like, yeah, I can hear you. Guys, hey, yeah, that ain't listening. That's hearing, but that's not listening. But what it tells me in Romans, and it's implied in that Psalm passage we looked at, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says this: For ye did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, where we can cry, Abba, Father. And that means daddy, because we know when a little kid cries daddy, daddies don't hear it, they're listening. You see, God doesn't just hear me, he's listening. And even better than that, he's always got his ears tuned in to hear and to listen to any of his children. Again, with six kids, believe me, well, I don't have to have six kids. Yesterday, my daughter and her four kids came over because it was hot, and they all came in to go swimming. A good thing to do. And then it started to thunderstorm, and everybody came inside for something to eat. And, you know, they had been outside, and they were running around. And we have a house with a lot of ceilings in it. And they started, you know, yelling and screaming. And pretty soon, I'm telling you what, it was like, woo, woo, you know. And I couldn't differentiate one voice from another. I was thinking, I think my motorcycle's calling me now, you know. And, you know, when you have that much kind of going on, it's hard to differentiate one kid from another. But not God. When Fred cries out, God hears Fred. When Mel cries out, God hears Mel. When GR or Christian or George or Dick or Jim or Tommy or Mary or Sue or any of you cry out, and even if we cry out as we were about a half an hour ago all at the same time, guess what? God doesn't hear that as din. He hears every single one of us. And he's listening to us. He's listening. Why is he listening? Because he loves us. Because he knows us. Because he's patient with us. Because he cares about us, he listens. And now I get it. The reason my wife didn't just want me to repeat what she said, the reason she wanted me to look at her and then just look attentively and listen is because that is an act of that shows that I truly do love her. That I'm attending to her. And Paul tells us here about our Heavenly Father that when we cry out, and sometimes we cry out and we don't even know what we're saying, in words that we can't even utter, sometimes we cry out to God and we don't even know what to say to him because our hearts are so heavy, because our hearts are so burdened, we don't know what to say. But guess what? God can take those unintelligible, incoherent thoughts, and he knows and cares and loves and is patient enough with us that he can make sense of it and he can actually listen to us. And because of that, because he listens to me, I can call on him. And yet so often we're kind of like that guy with the light switch. The power is there, we just don't turn it on. Listen, as a church, you need to call on the Lord to give guidance and strength to the pulpit committee so that God would bring his man here. For those that are hurting, like we just saw today, but others in the prayer list, and for the Bible school that's coming up this week, and for the needs of this church, there are so many things that we should be calling out to God regarding. And so often all we do is we offer these kind of superficial, quick fix kind of prayers, generic prayers. But what we need to do is pray and pray to a God that we believe that he actually is listening to us and wants to answer those prayers. And so my challenge to you this morning on this Father's Day is, first and foremost, is my dad your dad? Oh, not Frederick A. Malacy, Frederick Anthony Malacy Sr. But I mean my Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the Lord of all, the sovereign, holy God that's always existed. Is He your Father today? And if He is, then you know that He loves you, and therefore you are accepted. And He knows you, and therefore you can be yourself. And He is patient with you, and you can feel secure, and He will take care of you, and you do not need to worry. And He listens to you, and therefore you can call on Him. And if He's not your Father, you need to become part of His family this morning. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, it's actually a pretty simple request today. I mean, there are two things we could say. We could say, if the Lord is your Father, how much do you reflect your Father in your life? But I think most important to me this morning is my Heavenly Father your Heavenly Father? And are you living like you have a Heavenly Father? Are you living the kind of life that evidences that you have a Father who loves you and that knows you and that is patient with you and that cares for you and that listens to you? Or are you living more like an orphan, disconnected, distracted, not tapping in to the one who loves you more than anyone else? If you're here this morning and you don't know that the God of the universe is your Heavenly Father, we would love today on Father's Day 2015, we would love for you to become part of God's family. And if you just slip up your hand right now and you say, you know, Fred, I'm not sure that God is my Father. Never really thought about it. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Here's what you need to do right now. If He's not your Father, you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Savior. I believe that You came and You came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I could become part of Your family. And that Your Father can be my Father. And I just invite You into my heart and into my life this morning. And if you've prayed that or you want to pray that, in just a moment we're going to stand together and sing the song about the Father's love for us. And we invite you to come. And we'll be glad to sit down with you and show you how you can become part of God's family. Or if you've prayed that prayer, you can come and tell everyone, I've prayed that prayer and I've asked God to be my Father today. Maybe you need to come forward in just a minute when we pray, because even though you profess to know God as your Father, you've lived more like an orphan. And you need to rekindle that relationship. One of the things we didn't talk about this morning is there's a two-sided road to this relationship with the Lord. He's done everything He can do for you, but we need to respond and communicate with Him. And maybe you've been estranged from your Heavenly Father. He's still there. He's never left. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. But you need to come back to Him today. And as we sing in just a moment, you come. You come. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins so that we can be part of Your family. And for those that have raised their hands this morning, Lord, we pray that they would come and be part of Your family, that they would by faith accept Christ as their Savior this morning. And for those that have been estranged from You, Lord, may they come back to You. Like the prodigal son returned to his father, may they come back to You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.